An inch of time is an inch of gold, but you can't buy that inch of time with an inch of gold. This is a Chinese proverb. Let's talk about time today. Let's talk about why we need to make sure our kids know it, what the alignment is, how we can overcome some obstacles, and the future of our students. So, what is time? Time can be a stressful thing. We're going to examine this here. Why is it difficult? What's happening out there? Well, you know, there's been some talk about removing analog clocks from testing rooms because they create stress. Well, maybe we should be asking ourselves, well, why is it stressful for our students? And what can we do about it? So let's sit back and let's really think about this. We have to play a part in this. We have to address this problem. We have to be able to help our kids know how to read a clock so that they can report to a job on time or make it to that doctor's appointment on time or be able to determine how much time is left on that important exam that they're taking. We have to act purposefully and we need to act now to help our students. There is an alignment if you look across the content of our curriculum. In kindergarten, there's no standard for time. We do start laying down some number applications that are going to help students, but there really is no standards for time there. The standards really start in first grade, and they move from the hour to the half hour with both an analog clock and a digital clock to second grade using reading to the nearest 1 minute increment using both analog and digital, and being able to distinguish between AM and PM. In third grade, well, we start adding things like 15 minute and 30 minute and 45 minute increments and having them subtract them and add them to time when they're looking at real world situations. And in fourth grade, it even expands beyond that, where they're really understanding how that measurement of time works and using it in multiple facets. After fourth grade, time is not taught. It's an expected skill that students are to have mastered and can apply to their classroom. We need to make time consistent. It's got to be a part of our daily routine and our math talks. We can't just simply post an analog clock on the wall and say, "You got it." We need to make it an integral part of everything that we do. When we do that, we can overcome some of the many obstacles that moving, multifaceted clock creates. First of all, it's confusing to kids. You know, we're teaching them money. 100 pennies equals $1. But now we're going to teach them time, and 60 minutes equals 1 hour. Oh my goodness, here comes fractions at such an early age. And this can be a different aspect for students to understand. In kindergarten, we teach them that a quarter is 25 cents. But when we talk about a quarter of an hour, we mean 15 minutes. And a half an hour means 30 minutes, and 3/4 of an hour means 45 minutes. So we have these two conflicting systems working against each other when we're talking about money and we're talking about time. Kids also get confused when you're thinking about, what does that one stand for? The one on the clock stands for 1 o'clock, but it also stands for 5 minutes after an hour. And the 2 o'clock stands for 2 o'clock, but it also stands for 10 minutes after an hour. Kids can just actually scratch their head and say, "So what's this?" It can be an obstacle that we have to overcome. But we can overcome it. We can keep calm and use a chunking method and keep moving on. We start in kindergarten by skip counting forwards and backwards. Don't forget that backwards part. We skip count up to 20. We skip count then using by tens up to 100. Then we move on into first grade. We're skip counting by twos and fives and tens all the way up to 120. Oh, and it's forwards and backwards. Second grade explodes up to 1,200. Third grade keeps going to 100,000. And fourth grade, look out, here comes 1,000,000. We can also continue to use objects and number lines to help students express their knowledge in these areas of number. We also need to work on building flexible thinking. Using that clock requires us to move forwards and backwards within a different number system, base 60. So, in kindergarten, we use comparative language. First grade, we start using some symbols and relationships, and we expand our number system concepts. Second grade, we locate numbers on a number line. A clock is actually a curved number line. You could literally take it apart and lay it flat, and it would be a number line. In third and fourth grade, we identify and connect mathematical concepts to number systems in real-world situations. So, when we're starting to talk about time, we're going to start with the hours. Just look at what the hours are. Then the half hours, then the quarter hours, and the minutes, and the seconds. You know, we've got a lot of tools in our classroom that we can use in this day and age. We can set a timer so that it chimes when it's 10 o'clock every day. Have the kids stop and look at the clock, point to it. It takes 3 seconds of your time. Then you can pick another time, like maybe it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You might be able to coordinate this with times of your schedule and what's going on where you're looking at, are we having to line up? Let's look at the clock. Let's talk about it. The future of our elementary school students is that they got to live a real life. They're going to be cooking. We want them to make sure they don't burn those brownies. We want them to be on time. We want them to be able to use and read instruments, be able to apply this to science and explore all the many facets of physics that are going to require them to learn how to use a clock. In geometry, we pick up angle measurements in fourth grade and we continue with that. And again, that's based on that curved system. Next comes pre-cal and the unit circle. Understanding an analog clock lays the basis for being able to understand that unit circle. Starting day one, make it a part of your everyday talk. Use manipulatives to help students make connections. Connect the digital and the analog clock. Look up at your wall. Is your time schedule for the day just using a digital format, or do you have an analog format also showing the times that you go to recess or lunch or that we go to specials? What is it that we have on our walls? Are we showing kids the analog clock? Just because it's easy to write digital doesn't mean that we can't go ahead and write the analog. We can do that. We also need to look at anything we give students, like worksheets or materials. Are they proportionally correct? There are many out there that are not, and we need to ensure that we're showing kids the proper tools in the proper format. Now, this goes way beyond our classroom. Consider talking to your cafeteria workers, your front office. What do the clocks look like in there? How can we use those clocks to help reinforce telling time with our students? And don't forget to involve your parents. Talk to your parents about the analog clock. Ask them if they have them in their house. Can they get them in their house? Put them where their kids brush their teeth. Use them when they're buying a Christmas present. They could buy an analog watch for their students. This is all great ways that we can help and reinforce and make sure all of our kids know how to read the analog clock and tell time. When you think about my beginning statement, an inch of time is an inch of gold, but you cannot buy that inch of time with an inch of gold. We have to make sure our students understand time. This is Lista Schwartz with Mathematical Methods for Pedagogical Engineering. Have a wonderful day.